Recovery 101, yeah, with your hosts Bruce, Shelley, and Mark. They want to talk with you, joke with you, and tell you the facts. They want to see you in recovery, working those steps. So when you're through, they want to chat with you. Put down the jack in the crack and take a step on back and go to a meeting and keep coming back. And then tune to recovery101.net. And when you're through, they want to joke with you.
Hey, I'm Dr. Drew, and you are listening to Recovery 101.
Thank you to Courtney for our marvelous Recovery 101 jingle. Recovery 101 does not speak for AANAOACAGAPASLASLAACRRMMDRAHAPAMOUSE. We don't speak for any of them guys. We don't even speak that well for ourselves.
Speak for yourself.
So if you listen to the last show, you probably know that already.
Yes. Or any of the shows before this.
Welcome to Recovery 101. My name is Bruce B. As always with...
Shelley.
And Mark.
Shelley with a mouthful of hash brownie. She made brownies with 10 ounces of hash, according to her. She's the only one that's ate them. She's ate an entire pan of them now.
Sheesh.
I did not.
Did too. And you know what?
No, I did not.
I was going to say, no one will hear that unless you're speaking into the microphone. Yeah. That's how I know what kind of brownies those are.
That's right.
I'm sorry, but the brownie was more important than the microphone.
Oh, and you know
Shelley
what?
Shelley said they were not into her cup of soup.
What?
Because we never brought this up on the show.
What?
We had to say goodbye to our dog.
Oh, yeah.
Our dog, Weber.
Love Weber.
Yes.
Weber's in a far better place.
All dogs go to heaven.
That's right.
And wait at the Rainbow Bridge.
Four.
That poem kind of, I had this weird mental picture because in the poem it talks about, you know, your pet has passed on and they're in a happy land where all the doggies are playing and blah, blah, blah. But then.
Tons of food and tons of water and no one's telling them what to do.
But then they see you.
In the
apparently,
distance.
You've crossed over the Rainbow Bridge as well. And they go running up to meet you. And I thought, if that's true for every dog I ever owned, I'm going to get bowled over and slobbered on because that we're talking a herd. That's not just one dog. That's a herd.
It's okay. You'll have help.
I would only have two dogs. I'd have a grip of cats riding on the dogs' backs. Be like little kitten mounties. It would be kind of strange.
Yeah.
Did you ever see the movie, had Robin Williams in it? It was about after...
What
Dreams May Come. Trippy movie. Wildly imaginative and visually stunning.
Yeah, but I still don't get it.
What a great description that is.
You could use that one, believe me, for Cloud Atlas, too.
Oh, okay.
Wildly imaginative and visually stunning. There's also a movie called...
I have no idea what it was about, but I really like looking at it.
There's also a movie called Upside Down.
Uh-huh.
And that movie is wildly imaginative and visually stunning as well. You know, you could make an entire career out of being a film critic just saying that. And everyone would use your stuff.
Yeah.
You ever notice how film critics, they always talk good things about films so that their name is the one that's put up?
Yes.
Is thinking it's great. I saw Roger Ebert one time said the greatest horror movie of all time that was like The Last House on the Block. I have high hopes for this thing. Roger Ebert says it's the greatest thing ever. I watched it. Boy, did it suck.
You thought so? I actually thought it was pretty good.
The original?
No, the one the
no,
new
no,
one.
No. The original one.
The new one's good.
No, the original one sucked. Sucked! And you know, you don't ever...
Last House on the Block or the house at the end of the street?
Yeah, you know what I'm thinking? I'm thinking the AA version. Last house on the block.
The house at the end of the street.
Yeah.
I was going to say, I go to a meeting called Last House on the Block.
Perfect. Oh, by the way, it's time for the boozy news. And the news not fit for booze.
Okie dokie, Maniscalchi.
Where did that come from?
I made it up.
Okie dokie, Maniscalchi.
It came from that chair over there.
I made it up because it rhymes. I wanted something that rhymed with okie dokie.
I'm a dokie. Maniscokie rhymes. I'd be like, okie dokie, smoke some cokie.
Smokey cokie, yeah.
Okay, well, I didn't think that.
Okie dokie, no, slam the cokie.
Because that's how our minds work.
Yeah.
Speaking of cocaine, a man from Rock Hill, South Carolina.
Perfect.
That's where you'd be from.
Well, there's no actual rock involved in this, but George Zar.
Yeah, really?
Him.
His last name is spelled S-Z-R. How the heck, S-Z-R? A-G-A. How the heck do you pronounce that?
Zraga.
Zraga. Okay.
I got it right away.
At any rate, he got arrested because he told his children that they would not be men, apparently they're boys, unless they drank booze. So he mixed his vodka with the fruit punch and forced his 10-year-old, his 5-year-old, and his 2-year-old to drink it.
Ooh.
Is that bad?
It is.
10-year-old,
that's bad.
You know.
10-year-old's okay. 2-year-old helps him sleep.
Yeah, he knocked right out.
According
right
to the children's grandmother, after he was taken away to jail, the kids all told their grandmother that he's done this before where he forced them to drink alcohol and then kept them locked in their bedroom all day. My first thought was, where did they pee?
And you know what the next question from the kids was? When will he be back?
Yeah. We want our dad.
Where's the fruit punch?
I've been a little stressed lately, and Dad really helped me out with that.
There's something weird going on in New Jersey. There's this Catholic high school.
There's always been something weird going on in New Jersey.
There's a Catholic high school, Queen of Peace High School in North Arlington, New Jersey.
Wait. Queen of Peace?
Yes.
Okay.
As opposed to the one on the West Coast in San Francisco? Peace of Queens?
Okay.
Oh.
Anyway,
We're
just having fun.
Teacher organized a no cursing pledge campaign. Apparently, at this school, that cussing is the big problem.
That's bullshit.
This
is bullshit.
But apparently, the pledge, which is mandatory, you must take the no cursing pledge, only applies as long as you don't have a penis, because it doesn't apply to the boys in the school, only the girls.
Okay, that makes sense.
That makes no sense whatsoever.
Makes perfect sense.
No, because girls should be
ladies.
Full of sugar and spice and everything nice.
That's right.
They said that they want the girls to act like ladies.
That's right, see?
And the boys can act like dicks.
And the girls said that they were a little bit, when interviewed, said that it's a good idea, but it should be applied across the board because if we have to be like ladies, then the boys should have to act like gentlemen.
Because the girls are pissed off because the boys are still calling them bitches.
That's right.
I think the whole idea is stupid. And it must be an awesome school because if the only thing you have to worry about is whether or not the kids are cussing too much, you got no problems.
Right. I have a question because I wasn't here for
what
a few shows.
What?
Did you ever do the story on the college that's doing the class on how to improve the female orgasm?
No, what school is that?
You missed that. It's a university. No, it's actually, I thought it was University of Minnesota, but I'm not positive.
They got nothing better to do in Minnesota.
It has a class on improving the female orgasm. As soon as it came up, the first thing that came back.
Wait, is this the one where they were showing them how to use toys?
No. That was the woman that was doing the sex seminars.
This is a college credit class.
And as soon as
it came
dude,
up,
that'd
the
be
first,
my major.
The first things that came out. Were what days are the lab?
Yeah.
80 guys applied to be the teacher's assistant.
I
aptly called the TA.
That'd be my major.
Yeah. You know.
I don't want to toot my own horn, but I'd be teaching that class.
What date are the labs?
That's awesome.
Yep. So,
Shelly?
Got to go look that one up.
Shelly, I'm going to teach that class. Do you mind?
Oh, no, you go ahead, dear.
Sweet. I'll pass.
In New Delhi, India, a group of Tibetans...
right next to Old Delhi.
A group of Tibetans were visited there last week. They had flags and political banners, hoping to gain attention for their plight. You know, Tibet was forcibly taken over by China.
Don't they just like set themselves on fire like they used to?
Well, here's the thing. They are reaching a rather grim milestone. They are one person short of the 100 people performing self-immolation.
Oh, really?
In protest of the Chinese thing.
Wow, I just brought that up.
Well, part of what they're discussing in this, they're all getting together in New Delhi to protest the Chinese occupation. They're starting to wonder whether or not the self-immolation is a valuable political protest tool. They're not sure it works.
Let me throw something. let me throw something out there.
Who's going to
do this study?
Yeah.
Let me throw this out there. If you've ever seen this, there's a very famous video of a guy that does this. These guys, you want to talk about Tibetan monks? This guy sets himself on fire. He doesn't flail. He doesn't run. He doesn't roll. He sits there, doesn't move, and just burns. And I'm like, that's a guy that's come to some kind of weird peace and understanding, yeah, because you cannot set yourself on. The guy doesn't even move. He just sits there. And I'm like, wow. You know, I'd like to have what that guy has, except the whole burning part, you know. Well, you know.
And Erath County, which is in Texas.
Erathor County?
No, Erath.
Erath.
Chris Kyle. He was a former Navy SEAL.
Oh, God, this is a tragic
story. Yeah, it's a horrible story. He was a former Navy SEAL. He actually holds the record. He's the deadliest U.S. sniper in history.
He is.
He and a friend of his were at a gun range practicing guns. Chad Littlefield was his friend that he was with. Eddie Ray Ruth went up and killed them both, point blank range. Eddie Ray Ruth was and the reason this is so tragic is he was a former Marine, and he was an expert marksman. He's known to have been suffering from severe post-traumatic stress disorder.
Uh-huh.
And Chris Kyle, who is the former Navy SEAL, runs a program to help people with post-traumatic stress disorder.
And took him to the range to help relieve stress.
They took this guy to the range?
They took him to the range to help relieve stress. And he came up and shot them both from behind.
Wow.
Yeah. Point blank range. Just bam, bam.
A tragic story.
It's horrible.
I think I'm going to go out on a limb and say that's a bad idea. Take guys to the gun range to help them relieve their stress.
It has worked in the past.
Yeah, it has.
It worked right up until it didn't work.
Until the time it didn't work.
Right. We have a hero of the week.
A hero of the week?
Yes, a hero of the week. Malala Yousafzai.
That's easy for you to say.
Is a Pakistani girl.
Oh, I thought it was maybe a bear.
Well, she's kind of a young woman, actually.
Well, how do you pronounce the name again?
Malala Yousafzai.
Malala Yousafzai bear.
Okay, at any rate. She was attacked by the Taliban. I mean, they shot her three times and tried to beat her to death because she posted things online, in groups online, criticizing the Taliban for not allowing women or girls to be educated, to be taught how to read. And she ran a secret school teaching girls how to read.
She spelled educate wrong.
Now, is this the one that they brought her over here? They got her out of there?
No, she's in the U.K. They got her out of there, yeah.
Yeah, she's in
the
UK.
Almost died. She has gone through extensive surgery. She's been in the hospital for a very long time. She is still fighting the Taliban and trying to get Muslim girls specifically, now her focus is worldwide, educated, because in a lot of countries, the patriarchs of the families are in charge of who gets to go to school. And a lot of girls are not allowed to be taught to read. I guess the men think that they'll go off and have a life, which, you know, fancy that.
Don't get all these highfalutin ideas in their heads.
Norway has put her name forward for a Nobel Peace Prize for 2013 for her efforts in educating Muslim girls.
If Obama can get one, she should get one.
Yeah.
Yes, she should.
For just promising something.
That nomination has been backed up by the parliaments of France, Spain, and Canada.
I think she's a shoo-in.
Yes, give her the award.
I hope she wins, because then somebody who's actually trying to make a difference in the world will
win. We're cheering for her.
Yes. Okay, remember, you
she's
going
to be the official spokeswoman for Recovery 101 to Muslim girls everywhere.
Yes. Remember, well, you actually weren't here, I don't think, when we talked to the kindergartner who got suspended because she threatened to shoot somebody with a
bubble gun.
A bubble gun. You know, a little gun that shoots bubbles. She said she wanted to shoot her friend with her bubble gun because they were playing, and she thought the bubble gun was fun. And the school, the teacher overheard her make this comment, and they suspended her and said that she was making terroristic threats.
Uh-huh.
But she actually just wanted to play with her bubble gun. Uh-huh. Well, we're still delving into the realm of the ridiculous with this overreaction thing. In Florence, Arizona, Daniel McLean, who's a freshman at Poston Butte High School and is going into ROTC, was suspended because he had a picture of a gun on his laptop. And it wasn't a gun like anybody was holding or aimed at anybody or shooting anything. It was a picture of a gun on the laptop of a kid who's going into ROTC.
My God, when I was in fifth grade, I used to draw tanks.
Oh, too bad. You can't do that.
On my
paper.
Nope,
you're suspended now. You're a terrorist threat. I think we're getting a little bit overreactive here. Just a tiny wee bit. I saw the picture. They showed it on the article of this picture of the gun that the kid had. There was an Arizona State flag in the background, and it was a gun. I mean, it looked like the cover of Guns and Ammo.
Unless the gun was being used as a dildo, I don't see any reason why you would have to suspend the kid for having a photo of it.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. I mean, I'm expecting more and more stories
as
like
a
this.
Dildo. He went there. Like in, you notice if I even say anything remotely sexual, Shelly jumps on me with 2 feet. Mark says, oh, unless you're using a gun as a dildo, Shelly doesn't say anything.
Sometimes it's just timing.
It must be.
Because, actually, that is a good segue for the next story. Speaking of
speaking
of dildos.
Porn actress Coco Brown is going to be the first porn actress in space.
Wait, can I... I'm not even going to ask a question. What race is she?
She's black.
Oh, I was just wondering, because Coco Brown, it sounds like a black gal.
She also goes by the name of Honey Love, and she has starred in such noteworthy epics as Big Booty Bomb 2.
For those of you who like Big Booty Bomb 1.
Yes. Yeah. Sugar Walls Slop Shots. And It Don't Matter, Just Don't Bite 5, which means there were 4 other movies about not biting.
Those are blowjob movies. I'm just guessing.
Well, she has now gone to the Netherlands. She is training, doing zero-G training, so that she can become the first porn star in space.
But are they going to do a video of her in space?
No, they're not doing
a
video.
Are they going to live that with the space station for a year?
Yeah.
There is a company that is going to be doing space travel for the public, basically.
Porn stars.
It's called SpaceX C.
Did they take her flight out in trade?
It doesn't say. She was actually invited to go on this trip. Of all the people in the world that you could put on your inaugural flight into space.
Doesn't she already have a deep space?
Yeah. Did she, the commander astronaut on this mission, did he invite her? You want to talk about the 30,000 mile club? Should be the first
one. 300,000 miles.
Yeah,
club.
Yeah. It doesn't say.
Yeah, Commander Rod Storm.
I'm just flabbergasted. of all the people in the world, all the civilians in the world that this company could have invited to be one of the first people on their commercial space flight, they invite a porn star.
Meet your pilot, Rock Johnson.
This is not Star Trek.
Yikes. I don't know about this.
I'll transport you, lass. I'll put you in deep space.
Oh, actually, I got a couple of good ones, but...
You drop some dilithium crystals. You'd better bend over and pick them up.
We're kind of over time, but I got a couple of good ones. In Palm Beach County...
Florida!
Police say that Christopher Paul Marsland...
Three names.
...was riding his bicycle while extremely drunk in darkness. In other words, it was dark outside. That sentence is awkward. I don't like that sentence. Anyway, he was stopped by the police because apparently he was weaving on his bicycle. He threatened to kill the cops, claimed to be a professional MMA cage fighter, and then once they got the handcuffs on him, he offered the cops 50 cents to let me go. Is what he told
Oh, big
them.
Spender.
Yes.
Boy, that's gangsta.
That worked real well.
So you get it. You get a bribery charge for 50 cents.
50 cent.
50 cent.
I got to go through a couple of these. This I have a list here. We're way over time. Holy
yeah,
crap.
Yeah, I have at
care.
It.
Care. We'll just talk for a few minutes on the subject.
I've came across a list of what they're calling the 8 most shocking toys for children.
Most shocking?
One of the Harry Potter broom?
Yes. One of them was the Harry Potter vibrating broomstick. Actually, one of the quotes, apparent on the Amazon review.
Back my toy.
On the, you know how on Amazon you can put product reviews and stuff? Apparently, they're still selling, not by the company, but by, you know, private vendors. One parent wrote on the Amazon reviews, "I'm 32 and enjoy riding the broom as much as my 12-year-old.
These are like those reviews, though, right, Shelly?
I didn't say like whether
the
they were
the
like
banana
those
slicer.
Reviews.
Jumping the broom.
Yes.
A lot of those Amazon reviews are like people are just writing, and there's stunningly funny ones.
There was the company Remco.
Remco.
Which I don't believe is in business anymore, and it's probably
is
because.
Is it Ronco? Or?
No, Remco.
Remco.
Because they put out a toy called Baby Laugh-A-Lot.
Oh, yeah.
In 1971, they had a baby. That doll came out.
Remember it.
I saw a picture of the doll. It didn't last very long because it was so flipping terrifying looking.
Oh, my God.
It scared the crap out of the girls.
And it go like, does it
yes,
go?
Yes, exactly. Yes. It had this satanic look on his face. Now I wonder why the company went out of business.
It looked a wee bit Chucky's? Like a female version of Chucky.
Yeah.
It was very scary. Then we have Erwin the Little Patient. It's a plushy doll that when you take off his clothes, he's in need of life-saving surgery. When you take off his clothes, his stomach opens up and his intestines all come out.
Nice. Whatever happened to the normal things like Ronco's or Popeil's Pocket Fisherman?
Yeah, Ron Popeil.
There's a company called Think Geek that put out a toy called My First Bacon.
Obviously, Bonnie the Pig from two shows won't be there.
Yeah.
It's a plushy toy. It looks like a giant stuffed bacon. And when you squeeze it, the little mechanical thingy inside says, "I'm bacon." The inspiration behind the toy, this is what's on their website. It says, "This reminds children that no matter what happens in life, they should be true to themselves and always be proud of who they are," which, of course, means bacon lovers. That's on their website.
Wow.
Yikes. And I'll do this last one. A Swedish company came out with two plush dolls called Pee and Poo. They look exactly like what they...
How can you look like pee?
It's a drop. It's a yellow drop-shaped plushie. Oh. And the poo looks like poo. It's supposed to be a potty training inspiration. But they just look kind of scary.
Hey, go play with your poo.
Go play with your poo.
Kid throws the plush doll at you, then you laugh real hard. Next day, the real stuff comes.
Exactly.
How's a kid supposed to know? You're just confusing them.
And strangely enough, they also make pee and poo dolls that have keychains attached to them. But since most kids don't drive and don't have keys, why? I mean, are there a bunch of people in Sweden walking around with their keys hanging off of poo?
Well, you know what they'll do? The next thing will be they'll be attaching the keychain to, like, their backpack. So they'll be carrying around a poo with them.
Yeah.
I had a poo toy.
Yeah, I did, too.
Mine looked like a bear.
Yeah, mine was like a bear.
So, anyway, we are way over time, and that is the end of the boozy news.
The New Way Foundation Victory House AWARE program is a state-licensed and certified substance abuse treatment provider located in Burbank. The New Way Foundation has a 50-bed residential program for men 18 to 64 years of age without insurance and outpatient programs for both women and men. New Way is a nonprofit foundation that is partially funded by Los Angeles Substance Abuse Prevention and Control under the Public Health Department and provides affordable and effective treatment. For over 40 years, New Way has been located in walking distance from beautiful downtown Burbank, numerous parks, and major transportation lines. In comfortable settings, nearly the entire continuum of care is offered by state-registered and certified counselors and interns. Don't wait for an accident, arrest, or overdose to contact us. Help yourself or your loved ones find treatment and the joys of recovery. When your way doesn't work anymore, try the new way. You can reach us at 818-842-9416 or on the internet at new-way-foundation.com, helping 25,000 people find a new way since 1967.
Recovery 101, clean and sober internet radio. Yeah.
Welcome back.
Your dreams are your ticket out.
Shelly, welcome back to the same old place that you laughed about. She's yawning.
Yeah. She's been yawning for a show and a half now.
That's because it's like the middle of the night and I need to go to bed now.
Okay.
Yeah, I didn't even get to sleep in today.
You didn't?
No, because I had to go speak.
I heard you were great.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
I had them rolling in the aisles. I actually, you know what? I can even say it. I realistically, I don't know what it was. I had a good chair. I prayed right before I went up there.
Uh-huh.
And God directed it. And,
how long did you go?
And as opposed to my 45-minute war story with, you know, 6 minutes of recovery,
You did about 30 and 10?
No, I had recovery. I had recovery fairly much throughout. It was pretty good. Sweet. So,
dude.
Mark,
yes.
We have a topic.
Being of maximum service.
I just did that today.
Because you went and spoke on Super Bowl Sunday.
And you know what's interesting? Speaking of service, the guy that is the speaker getter for that meeting, this is a guy that really personifies maximum service. Do you know when I got asked to speak at this meeting?
When?
In November.
It's
this
now
is
February.
A guy who, as the speaker getter, gets people months ahead of time. Then he says, I will email you about a month before, which he did. Then I'll email you about a week before. And then I'll get in touch with you the day before. And he did all of those things.
He's got a system.
And, you know, think how many times you go to a meeting where someone is the secretary of the meeting. It's a speaker meeting. And they have the same four guys that are in the meeting every time share because they don't have an outside speaker to
come
in. Now, we recently had a thing where we reverted a meeting back to the original format as a speaker meeting. And so far, thus far, there was a 23-year speaker, a 28-year speaker, a 25-year speaker, a 7-year speaker, and a 23-year speaker, none of which normally go to that meeting. Shelly's looking at me strangely.
What was the 7-year speaker?
That was Stretch.
I wasn't there for that.
No, you weren't.
Where was I?
I don't know.
Stretch came out and spoke?
Oh, that
Stretch.
Was the week I was sick.
Yeah, Mark remembers Stretch.
That was the week I was sick.
Yeah, that was the week you were sick. But, you know, that would be an example of, and even speakers coming, you know, being of maximum service.
Mm-hmm.
None of those speakers except for one is even in the area. They all came from a good half-hour drive away to speak.
Do we have a speaker this week?
Not yet, but I'm not the speaker getter, really. We've just happened to have been getting them. But other ways to be of maximum service.
I don't know.
It's late. We're tired. We've been of maximum service for the last 2.5 hours.
Well, we all did it. We did it.
Yeah.
Joined a convention committee.
Yep.
Went and did a bunch of convention-y stuff.
Yeah, but when you're talking about maximum service, is that really maximum service? That's the clean side of service. We get to go and do a little convention and have a little fun. That's the clean side of service.
We also went to how many weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks of meetings?
Yes,
11 to 20.
Still the clean side of maximum service. How willing
what
are we?
What is the dirty side of maximum service?
What's the maximum side?
Okay. I would say picking up someone who's vomiting all over the place, falling out of your car, getting them to a hospital, sitting with them. I mean, the nitty-gritty crap.
Oh, that's just stupid.
I've done that, too.
I've
done that, too.
Yeah, we all have.
We've all done that. My girlfriend and I were asked by a guy who has a panel. His panel is on Thursday nights, I think. Let's see. Yeah, panel's on Thursday nights. The second Thursday of every month. His next panel falls on Valentine's Day. I'd prefer to not go speak on a panel on Valentine's Day. There's a lot of things I'd rather do on Valentine's Day.
I'd do it.
But, of course, we're doing it because we were asked to.
I'd do it because I don't really give a crap about Valentine's Day. But
yeah, thanks for that, Shelly.
Nice.
Oh, sweetie. Okay. We give each other cards. That's about the extent of it. Well, chocolate.
No sex?
Well, yeah, but I mean...
Okay,
that's,
well, just...
Yeah, but that's not like... That's an everyday occurrence. That's okay. Not like, you know... We don't have to wait for Valentine's Day to have sex.
Okay.
Yeah.
Look at the time.
Yeah, no. No, yeah. Well,
it's late.
No.
I need to go. We took a
former show host, actually, that had been some problems staying sober. My sponsor and I took him to a recovery home. He was drunk. Well, first got him from a house where he was drunk as a skunk. Took him to a hospital. They wouldn't even take him. He was so drunk. We ended up taking him to a regular hospital so he could sober up enough to get into the recovery hospital. I mean, I've done stuff like that. You guys know, at my store, I talk to drunks or pseudo-drunks or dope fiends every single day.
You've got a whole herd of them
wet
that hang out.
All the time.
You do have a herd of them.
Shelly was of service, maximum service to a wet one here at the house.
That was an exciting experience.
Showed up hammered.
Hammered?
And then proceeded to drink in the chair you're sitting in.
What was he drinking? Hennessy.
Hennessy, that's right.
Now, because we were not even clear, Hennessy is, Mark?
Hennessy is cognac.
Cognac. So it's like Cavathier.
Kind of like the Cavathier.
Yeah. Normally, cognac, a sipping liquor.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
But is this person of the African-American persuasion?
Yes.
Yes.
That's the Hennessy drink. That's the drink of choice.
Is it?
Yeah.
I don't even know, because I've never had Hennessy. I've had cognac before, but I've never chugged it. Apparently, he was chugging.
Yes, he was chugging.
Was it XO or was it just a regular Hennessy?
And my sponsee,
I didn't examine it that closely.
We mentioned this a few shows ago, but my sponsee, trying to be helpful, seeing that he had left a partial bottle.
And I hadn't noticed that he'd left it sitting there.
Hmm. Mike says... We need to get rid of this. And instead of, like, the gigantic utility sink in the studio that's right there, he takes it out and pours it out in the driveway.
The smell was intense.
I came home that night. I'm like, what is
drinking?
That smell?
Who's drinking?
What's that smell?
Jelly?
And then that night, I was like, oh, Lord, please let it rain. Because we dumped, like, soapy water on it. The smell, you couldn't get rid of it. And it rained. I was so excited.
Now, how about other types of being of maximum service? How about the guys that go, and I know this happens all over the world, I'm sure. The secretary that shows up, the literature guy's not there, the coffee maker's not there.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
What does the secretary do?
Put out the literature.
He does all those things.
Makes the coffee.
We've all done it.
I remember when being of maximum service when I was new. And in California, there's no smoking inside now. I know in other areas of the country, you still can. There used to be what we called the blue line, the smog layer inside the meetings. Sure. And we used to wipe ashtrays. Yeah. And, you know, after you wipe, you know, in a big room where they'd come and there would be, you know, 50 ashtrays.
Yeah. Right. That takes a while.
You know, and after a while, when you're wetting these rags and you're wiping... It's kind of a gross
job. Yeah, your fingers get kind of gray.
Yeah. Kind of a gross job.
Yeah. You know, one thing that I see that I really appreciate the people who still do it, because I see people with time who stop this. People who quit answering their phones in the middle of the night.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I answer mine if it rings in the middle of the night.
I answer mine no matter when it rings.
I keep mine by my bed in case it rings.
But I know a lot of people who shut their phone off at 11 o'clock and turn it back on when they get up in the morning. And, like, is that how your sponsor treated you when you were new?
True.
You know?
Well, now, I will tell my sponsees, you know, I go to bed around 11, but if you're having an emergency, go ahead and call because my phone's by the bed.
When you're a newcomer, everything's an emergency.
I had recently, I usually stay up pretty late promoting the show and stuff and pinging blog sites and things like that. And someone saw me on Facebook, and person was drinking. Now, I had been on Facebook, but now it's like 45 minutes later. I'm getting into bed. The phone is ringing. This chick is drunk on the phone. Hey, what are you doing? I'm like, and not calling wanting to get sober, just calling wanting to, like, shoot the breeze. And I'm like, hey, it's 2 a.m. or 2:30.
3:30 in the morning.
Or 3:30 a.m. And I'm like, not the best time to be calling. She actually did call me or message me on Facebook the other day and said, I'm really sorry about that. I won't do that again. I'm like, yeah, you know, 3:30 a.m. to call and shoot the breeze. She goes, well, I saw you on Facebook, yeah, like an hour ago.
Yeah.
But, you know, when you see me log out of Facebook, I'm probably going to bed.
Now, done.
If you want to call and say, I'm about to drink, can I talk to you?
Yes.
I'm having a big problem and I don't want to drink. Completely different story.
Yeah.
As Shelley knows, we've gotten calls like that at all manner of time of the night.
Well, and then there's also the fact, I mean, there are a lot of people that are in the program, you're saying that, you know, old timers that turn off their phones and stuff like that.
Yeah.
There are a lot of people that are so busy. I mean, like, my sponsor has a book, her schedule book, that is like 47 different colors, and every single hour is like packed with work and gigs and all kinds of crap that she's got to do. She still finds ways to be of service in the extremely limited amount of time she has.
Uh-huh.
You know, if she maintains one meeting a week where if her sponsees need to see her, she keeps an hour before and an hour afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
So that you can go and see her at that time. And she's been known to text me back late at night. She's answered the phone when I've called. But one way that, I forget her first name, but a gal that I know that was really, really, really busy, she didn't have time to do all the service stuff that a lot of people do. She really didn't. So what she did was she would give rides.
Mm-hmm.
She's going to the meeting anyway. Anybody that wanted a ride. I mean, even if you don't have a lot of time, there's always something you can do. There's always something you can do.
I had a maximum service thing one time where I met Shelley, you probably remember this. Guy calls me, says, I really don't want to drink. I'm out sitting in front of a bar.
I remember this.
Where are you?
Bakersfield.
I'm like, seriously? This is way long time when I worked at Earthling. Bakersfield. Now, Bakersfield, from where we are, I don't know, what, hour and a half,
hour
2 hours?
45 minutes to 2 hours.
Yeah.
I just 2 hour
drive.
The other day.
You know, and it's like, he called me. He goes, really? You'd come and get me? And I said, yes, I would. Because I don't want you to drink.
That was good of you.
That was very nice of you.
Yeah, I remember I got into work, because I don't think I ever ended up going
to
sleep
that night.
That night.
No. And, in fact, you know, I don't think you came home the next morning. I think you went out.
I went straight into
work. Yeah, you went to work because you had to work at like 8 in the morning.
Oh, my God, I was burnt out at work.
A friend of mine was talking to me the other day. He was in the program, and he was talking about 12-step work and all the various ways you can carry the message. And he says, you know, one thing that people don't realize is how important it is when you've got some time, because this guy's got 19 years. He says, I thought for a while, because I didn't have time to be doing 12-step work, that I wasn't carrying the message. And his ex-wife was talking to him. And she said, how many meetings you go to a week? He said, 3. She says, same meetings? He says, yeah. Same time? She says, yep. Same seat? He says, usually. She goes, think about that newcomer that walks in and sees the guy with 19 years sitting in the same seat at the same meeting every week, has to think, this thing just might work, because look at this guy.
Right.
You know?
Being of service without even knowing you're being of service.
Yeah. I thought that was nice of his ex-wife to point that out to him.
Yeah, usually ex-wives are telling you what a pile of poo you are.
Yeah.
So, Shelley,
Yes.
What would your final words on being of maximum service be?
Well, I'd like to point out, I suppose, that, you know, we've talked about our times that when we were of service, and this is not to toot our own horns, because the reality is, and somebody actually posted on the Recovery 101 group once about how Bruce had done all this wonderful stuff talking to her and saved her life and helped her, you know, in her recovery, blah, 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 you know, on chatting and stuff, and talking about how wonderful he was, and I posted back because it occurred to me that he doesn't do all this stuff because he wants to make people think he's this wonderful guy. He does this stuff because he wants to stay sober.
Yes.
You know,
it's a selfish program.
Yeah, this is not...
If you think I'm driving to Bakersfield to save you, you're wrong.
Saving me. I'm not, you know, trying to say I'm all that in a bag of chips because I set up meeting. You know, I set up a meeting for 6 months because none of the other people showed up. I did it because I want to stay alive. You know, it's not because we're being it's not because I'm being a nice person. It's just because that's what I need to do, and hopefully, and I tell my sponsees this: you've got to get a commitment because that's where it starts. You start with one little commitment, and it will grow from there because you'll feel so good about the fact that you've been of service, and you've been accountable, you've been responsible, and it builds from there. I think I'm done. That was a rather long.
Wow.
my closing dissertation.
So, Mark, what are your final words on being a maximum service?
Watch, it'll be five words.
The life you save will be your own.
Okay, 7. 8.
The life you save will be your own. Yes. My final words would be... if someone asks you to do something, if it's a reasonable request, you should do it. It's good for you, and if it's a side benefit of being good for them, great. Mark and I still are on the CA helpline. I got a call the other morning from someone. Unfortunately for me, I go to look up a meeting for this guy.
Yeah.
San Gabriel Valley website is down. Like, you can't search anything. However... this guy says, you know, I may not have a ride to a meeting. And I said, I know people in the area. Let me make a couple calls. I called this friend of ours, Steve P. No problem. Give me his phone number. And there's a guy, maximum service. No problem. Yep. Guy's got a bunch of time. No problem. Give me his number. It's a new car. I'll take him to a meeting.
He's got more time than I have.
1 second. Boom.
Yep.
You know, I called. You got a minute to talk
to
this guy.
You left a message for me. I was in Sacramento. And you left me a message looking for his number, and he said, oh, never mind, I have it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And you know what? Called the guy? Yeah, no problem. I'll call him right now. Boom. Maximum service. So, Shelley.
What?
Who's our friend back east?
That would be Bruce.
The other white meat.
He runs the 12-Step Gazette at 12stepgazette.com.
.com.
Probably change things up a little.
Stereo.
You can read his fine publication online. You can have it emailed to you, or you can subscribe, and he will send it to you in the post. You can also inquire about franchise opportunities so that you can bring the 12-Step Gazette to your town.
Sweet. Mark.
Yes.
Someone's listening to the shoe.
Thank you for listening to the shoe. Thank you for listening to our shoe. If you are listening to our show from some way other than, I mean, we appreciate you listening to our show however you go about listening
yes,
to
we
our
do.
Show. But if you are getting our show from some way other than our site, we ask that you go visit recovery101.net. Click on a show there. There'll be a like button, a comment buttons. But you know what? Come on and indicate that you like the show because you're going to like the show. We know you like the show or you wouldn't bother listening.
You wouldn't bother signing up for Podomatic.
That's right. Yeah, sign up for Podomatic. Join and like the show. You'll be counted into our numbers. That really helps us out a lot with our ratings. Also, you can comment and follow, and you can add us to your playlists. There's nothing better on a Saturday night when you're having that group of people than to have us on your playlist.
Oh, yeah.
Especially late at night when you want to clear the joint out.
That's right. That's how you end a party. We should be the last.
Hey, listen to this. It's Recovery 101. Oh, hey, look at the time.
Just about the time everybody is hammered at the party. Play the Recovery 101 site. So recovery, recovery, recovery for all you friends of ours at Cal Poly. And so anyway, go on up. You'll like it. And thank you for supporting us.
We've got email address at recovery101radio@gmail.com. You can join the crack advertising staff at recovery101radiosales@gmail.com. We've got videos at youtube.com/easylook and youtube.com/recovery101rule62.
Do not take yourself too damn seriously.
We sure don't, Shelly.
Electra.
Electra, everybody, try and leave it better than you found it and be the example.
We're out.
And take care of you.
It's been so long, I can't remember what it's like. I've pushed my feelings down deep inside. That's right.